Today, the great Mike Catherwood joins me. He was a Loveline host for many years. We talk with Gary and I about what it's like to be text friends with old Mike. We get a visit from Rudy. Remember Rudy, everybody. And then Mike talks about what COVID was like living in Los Angeles versus where he lives now, which is Austin.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate. Get it on. I'm Dr. Drew, not Adam Carolla. And I love it when Adam Carolla takes a little time off because I get to spend time with my friends like Mark Ergos. And today is no exception. Mike Catherwood, one of the other legendary hosts of the Loveline radio program. How long were we together? 5, 7 years, something like that?
Yeah, it was just under 8, yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And I wanted to... Well, welcome, first of all. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And Mike,
it really is my pleasure. Like, I love it. One of these days, I'm going to be on a podcast, maybe with Carolla in the studio. That would be amazing.
It would be. You tend to replace him. That tends to be the
and,
role.
And he's always been, like, it's a weird thing. I mean, I think it's just the natural sense of social media. But I always get these like tweets, not a lot, but I'll get these tweets or these comments on a Instagram post. Well, it'd be like, I know you and Carolla don't get along. I'm like, what? Like,
yeah.
I've never heard him ever say anything about me except for really supportive, nice things. And I love Adam. I love every second I get to be with him.
So. He's never disparaged you, not once. I've never heard that. And so whatever.
That's, that says a lot for Adam.
I know. He says shit about me all the time. And so... So you just texted me that you just finished shitting. Congratulations.
I did.
I appreciate you sharing that with me.
Thanks, man.
Everything came out okay?
Oh, yeah.
And then I see you drinking out of a mason jar. And it looks like you're drinking urine. What is that?
Why a mason? I finally took my Mexican grandmother's advice, and I'm drinking my piss.
Have you seen all that shit on TikTok with people drinking their own urine and espousing the virtues of this ridiculous behavior?
Once again, like many things, this is nothing new. I hate it when some hipster restaurant starts serving intestines like they've discovered all of culinary art. I was like, you understand, been eating menudo since the day I was born. So have every generation of my family. And, you know, Dickies or Nike Cortez, whenever it becomes like these things that become hip. You and I see it so much in the fitness world.
Well, that's what I wanted to go. That's where I wanted to drive this.
These people pretend like they discovered MCT oil in 2011.
Right.
And they're like, you don't understand. This is, I was like, yeah, well, you know, bodybuilders have been using it since the late 70s for creating ketone bodies, you know, bypasses things, the medium chain triglyceride. So the drinking piss, there's – Mexican boxers and other cultural kind of athletes. I know Lyoto Machida, who's Japanese and Brazilian, used to drink his piss before fights. And he's, you know, this helps pull the impurities from my body. It's great to detoxify. And I'm like, whoa, you're drinking piss.
Terrible idea.
It also doesn't make even bro science sense to me.
Right.
Because that is... your waste. That's already what has been detoxified.
Right.
If that's a thing.
And I guess you could argue that there's certain things. So you have a proximal tubule and a distal tubule. And the proximal tubule sort of gobbles everything up and kind of can miss certain things that then come out in the urine, right? It's sort of like it phagocytizes. That's kind of how those cells are set
up.
PHAG, phagocytizes. It gobbles them up.
Doesn't matter. And, that's one of those that's got to go probably.
And the distal tubule is a much more nuanced, carefully regulated system of getting, you know, hydrogen right and sodium right, potassium right, and getting it all carefully regulated. And I guess you could argue that some things leave in the urine that you might want to keep back, but certainly nothing that you couldn't replete with a fucking meal or maybe a multivitamin.
But what I will say is it's innocuous. Like if you want, like,
well, no, it isn't.
You're fine.
No, it isn't because urea, BUN, blood urea nitrogen, urea is the protein byproducts that must go. They must go because they accumulate and cause uremia.
I was thinking about this, and obviously you know a lot more about it than I would. But through the digestive process, wouldn't the urea get essentially nullified?
No. Because the bacteria are splitting, creating the urea. You're absorbing it.
Okay.
And you absorb the nitrogen byproducts, and that's what's excreted in the urine. And if you don't excrete it, you get pericarditis, pleuritis, encephalopathy. Mm. It's the same as kidney failure. That's the symptoms of kidney failure is urea accumulating. Now, there's other stuff. There's phosphates and calcium and potassium and stuff gets off too. But the uremic
you see
symptoms,
that with, I've seen it. I don't – when I say I've seen it, it's not like I've been in the ER. But I know that it's common with alcoholics.
That's alcohol. That's different. That's alcoholic encephalopathy. That's because of liver failure. That's liver failure. And so
no, but I'm talking about I knew a couple dudes in recovery that they had the kidney. There was some type of like
kidney problem
byproduct that built up, and they had to their kidneys were all fucked, and they were
you're confusing a couple things. One is there are byproducts that build up, much like there is byproducts from kidney that can build up, and when your liver is so far gone that you're developing these byproducts accumulating in your system and you don't clear them through your liver, you get something called hepatic encephalopathy.
Ah, yes.
As opposed to uremic encephalopathy. And hepatic encephalopathy is associated with something called hepatorenal syndrome, which is you get renal failure on top of liver failure.
That sounds really good.
It's good times. It is good times. Yeah, keep drinking, man. It's good for you. Keep drinking that urine too while we're at it. So tell
it's
people –
it's coffee, you buck.
That's coffee. So tell people more about what you're doing in health and fitness.
My podcast, Mikey Likes You, which like a lot of great things, I guess, in the entertainment industry, especially, or the arts, you could say, kind of happened by accident. It was like, certainly I didn't do this as like a money-making endeavor. I just started it because people would ask me health and fitness questions all the time on Loveline, and I didn't want to waste those moments when I could be talking to someone who like is someone's on hold who is being molested or something. It's like, I don't really want to talk about sets and reps, you know, but then I would always answer them on Twitter or Instagram or whatever. And so then I just like started killing time. I was like, why don't I do a podcast? It's certainly easy and it doesn't take up much of my time, especially if I'm not using a lot of production value. I could just record into my laptop and ba-boom. And so I started it 2 years ago, and that's with the pandemic and things. It just became something that I found people really liked, and I've started to build it and grow, and so that's the basis of my podcast, which is that's a really oversaturated market, health and fitness, but I definitely make a conscious effort to include more comprehensive health. I mean, I talk a lot about pumping iron and steroids and high, you know, protein set points, but I talk a lot about addiction, I talk a lot about relationships, I talk a lot about mental health and whatnot.
You know? Yeah, that's the stuff I want to get into in just a second. Hey, by the way, as you hear this, we're running up to Thanksgiving, and I just got a text that my streaming show, which I do Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, typically at 3:00 Pacific time, Tulsi Gabbard will be joining me on Friday, November 25th, the day after Thanksgiving at 3:00 Pacific time. So look,
nice.
I'm a big fan of hers, and so that should be an interesting conversation.
Is that going to be an episode you do in Austin?
No. Susan produces this streaming show at 3:00 out of our house.
That's the kind of Facebook Live-y one.
Yeah, YouTube one. And okay.
That's
and
awesome, man.
Yeah, it is awesome. I can't wait to talk to her. All right, so I back to health and fitness. I'm going to keep going there for a few minutes, and then we're going to get into more Loveline-y kind of stuff. I in Austin had dinner with Peter Attia.
You know oh, is? Really?
Yes. What he is
really
he
one
is,
of the very few, because I'm not a low carb zealot. I think people get too wrapped up in a lot of
you made me that
details.
You turned me into that. It's your fault that I'm on the no carbs.
I wouldn't say it's. First off, there's two things. What I didn't say, I never liked the idea of not engaging in low carb activity.
Yeah.
For one, you're 60 something.
Yep.
Okay, there's a big difference. Your only means of physical activity is pumping iron.
Yeah. Well, no, I run too.
Okay. Well,
sometimes.
But you run at a pretty sub. You run at a sub anaerobic pace.
Pretty much.
Okay.
Although, and, you know, I went out to the desert. Did I tell you this story yet? I trained as a Navy SEAL in the Wadi Rum Desert in Jordan.
Did you?
You don't know about this? Oh, no. Dude, I'm going to send you a video of what we
– In Jordan?
In the Wadi Rum Desert, 120-degree heat.
Dude.
Me, Mel B, Montel Jordan, Dwight Howard, a bunch of us went out there. And it's a reality show. It's going to air on January 4th on Fox.
Dwight Howard just signed to play basketball.
Where is he?
Taiwan.
Signed? Oh, he told me he was going to do that. Yeah. I didn't believe him. He told me
Did
he was going
to Montel Jordan – was there any basketball hoops around in Jordan?
No.
Because he will fucking dunk on you.
Montel?
Dunk this. Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
Dwight. Well, Dwight, give me a break. Well,
that doesn't even count.
Yeah, I know. Montel's a big
That's
boy.
Like saying I did this reality show with George St. Pierre, and he beat the fuck out of everybody. No, I know. Of course, Dwight Howard will.
Yeah.
Montel Jordan's not a professional basketball player.
Right.
He's – him and the game – I couldn't believe how good at basketball the game was. The rapper The Game.
Oh, you really?
He's like Montel Jordan. The game is – fucking super tall.
Yeah, yeah.
But he balls. Like, I saw him fuck people up.
That's awesome. Well, anyway, so I'll send you a video of some of the trailer, what happened there. And
I have actual, like, an anthropological question.
Yeah.
Did Montel and especially Dwight not fare as well? Because I've always had this, from a kind of a layman's point of view, when you analyze the people who really thrive in incredibly demanding environments,
yeah,
they're not big, muscular people. And I know most anything in my life I learn from cheesy sci-fi novels and TV. And whenever you see the like apocalyptic show where like society's gone to hell because of a nuclear bomb or like an asteroid,
yeah,
it's never like Jason Momoa. It's always like the yeah, kind of like sinewy.
So Danny Amendola was out there with me from the Patriots, and he did very well. But I think it's funny. I was thinking about it while I was out there, and I think having dark skin was a significant advantage. And I've always wondered why African descent had such problems with hypertension, and their hypertension always feels a little different to me, and it's managed a little differently than in the European populations. And I started thinking out in the desert, I was watching about people's water and fluid demands, and I think that's part of what's going on there. Their kidneys are more efficient, and somehow that that higher level of efficiency is associated with later in life with kind of problematic hypertension. Because that's what high blood pressure is. It's a miscommunication between the kidney and the right atrium. That's primarily what it is. That the set point goes off.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, I thought so too. That's a great question. But Peter, who is like my hero.
I was going to say, I'm not the biggest fan. Like, I'm
Peter
not across the board.
Yeah.
But Peter is such a smart guy. And I look at him as one of those kind of lower carb guys that I really admire and always take his words into consideration.
Well, I didn't want to do too much shop talk when we had dinner with him and his wife. I'm such a fan of his stuff. And if you want to really get into the weeds of lipid metabolism, listen to him talking to Dave Feldman. I mean, Peter knows the fuck he's talking about. He's a highly trained surgeon. He did a fellowship in cancer surgery. The guy is top of the heap, and then went into this longevity stuff. And that's sort of what he's doing now, is sort of optimizing people's physiology. And he does, it's all evidence based. And I kind of scrolled at the dinner table really quickly through with him. I went, so what is it? Metformin? No. And I go, what about, I just started scrolling through stuff that might be associated with longevity. He goes, what about, nicotinamide riboside? No, the evidence not good. He just looked at me and he goes, vigorous exercise. Vigorous exercise. That's it. That's the one. And I went, okay.
Yeah. Pretty frequent, probably shorter duration. Vigorous exercise.
Yep. I deal with people all over the place. And so for me, it's the vigorous exercise that you will do. You know what I mean?
Of course.
Not everyone's
same,
you. Not
same,
everyone's
by the
you.
Way, same by the way of I found success, with my kind of way of looking at it and dealing with people. Same with diet. People are always like, what about keto? What about plant-based? What about? I go, I don't care. What one are you going to do for 6 years?
Yeah.
Which one is more – if intermittent – if you like eating two meals a day, two bigger meals a day, and compared to six smaller ones, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Neither of it's really inconsequential whichever way you go. Which one are you going to do more?
Well, so that's how I got into my – if you remember, you may forget this, but you were we used to do a podcast called Swole Patrol. It's still up at drdrew.com. And you were constantly on me about diet, and I kept going, I'm too old. I can't be bothered. And finally, you persuaded me. I don't remember how you got through to me, but you persuaded me that you need to do this. And I, at the time, had been listening – had interviewed Sean Baker in the carnivore world, and I thought – you know, I could do that. That'd be easy. And so I just said, okay, I'll just do that because I know I can do it. It was simple for me. And I have been as close to zero carb as I can possibly be ever since. And that was like 4 years ago.
And it seems to be working for you.
Yeah.
The reason I pushed you in that direction is like we were getting at your age, your level of activity and your lifestyle.
Well, and
I could, I would sit next to you 5 nights a week.
Yeah.
Sometimes twice a day, I would be around you for hours.
Yeah.
And I would see like you had a pretty reasonable ability to have a couple bites of sirloin.
Yeah.
And you had no ability to resist and stop eating donuts and brownies.
That's exactly
like,
right.
Once that went in your mouth, it was fucking insane.
I'd
be like, Drew, during the show, we'd be on the air and Drew's reaching for more fucking.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's 11 p.m. You're going to have 1,200 calories of brownie. Yeah.
Yes, yes. 100% true. And since that time, and really right around that time, it became crystal clear that insulin metabolism was a very major feature of, for some people, particularly people like me with metabolic syndrome, a very major issue in cardiovascular disease. Major.
But here, I think it's something important you said, a little small detail. For some people, it can
be. Yeah.
I get really upset when a dietitian, a bodybuilder, a doctor, anyone gets on the internet then and goes, this is for all people.
Yeah.
Having elevated insulin is the cause of your obesity, your habit.
No.
It's like, no, I have buddies that are 6% body fat and look 15 years younger than they really are, who eat 400 grams of carbs a day, so you can suck my balls.
Take a little break and talk to Rudy when we get back.
All right, fool.
We are back, and joined again by Rudy, who I haven't seen in a while. How you doing, man?
Oh, dog, you know, dog, like, mira, I'm living the dream always, forever.
Did you move down to Austin with Catherwood?
No, I snuck in like a trailer when he moved out here, but eventually he found me in his garage, so I'm back in Los Angeles now.
Did you like Austin while you were there?
I like Austin a lot, but like where he lives is like a little farther out, and he lives in like the country, dog. And sometimes like I liked it was peaceful, but then I thought like my grandma has goats and chickens in fucking East LA, so like why do I need to go?
Yeah, it's the same thing,
country,
right?
You know,
and your grandma must be 100 by now.
My grandma's like one of those. She's either like 75 or 275. No one really knows, dog.
But last time we talked about her, she'd had a stroke or something. She recovered from that.
Yeah, she's good, dog. I have to like fess up. That was probably my fault because we were smoking so much of that. Like that's the thing. Like back in the day, I could smoke all day around grandma because the weed was like different levels of. Pinche like potency for now you go to the store down the street, it's all legal. They get this crazy ass weed and my grandma fucked up. She was like dead. We were not like wondering. We were sure she was dead, fool. And then so I was scared, so I just put sunglasses on her like Weekend at Bernie's and shit.
I remember that.
We took her to Denny's, but then like 2 hours later she's like, you know, and she's and I was like, oh fuck. No, my grandma's a zombie, dog.
You know what the leading cause of emergency room visits for dogs is now? Is cannabis ingestion.
I know. That happened to me, dog. Because I left the peach gummies.
Yeah.
Catherine with that Mas Puto Mike gave me some of those gummies because you know how he doesn't do any drugs and shit.
Yeah.
And he had like some sponsor that gave him some weed gummies and shit.
Oh, boy.
Because I'm all about like old school. When it comes to Yeska, I'm like analog, dog. You know what I'm saying? I like to smoke a blunt, smoke a joint.
You bongo. Sort of cut your teeth on the Yeska with buying it in the lid.
I'm not that old, fool. That's your era, dog. Like I remember members Cheech and Chong say lid and shit. Like I wasn't in Vietnam, fool. 49.
Oh my god.
40. I think 46.
Dog. And how's Sad Girl?
She's good, dog. You know, we got her a pinche.
What's a pinche?
Like a fucking. When your leg gets cut off, you get a fake one.
Oh, right.
Prosthetic, dog.
Prosthetic leg.
It's dope.
She cut her leg off because she was in an amphetamine psychosis and thought there was grass or bugs in there.
It's really sad, but, you know, she's still thin, you know, so it's like.
Does she know you were the one that was putting the.
She does now. She's forgiving me. Mm. You know, because I told her for reals, and you know I'm telling the truth, dog. I wasn't motivated by nothing except for, like, I used to hurt me so much to see her hurting with her floppy fucking belly and her panza and her fupa.
Does she have excess skin now? Does she want to get that sort of surgically taken off?
No, I took my grandma took care of that shit.
Oh, what'd she do? Mango
puree.
With avocado.
Sea salt. goat dick and baking soda.
Okay. You know? That tightens
she
skin, right?
She boiled it for 3 days in a cauldron of some sort.
Yeah.
And then rubbed that shit on my wife's skin, and it got all tight.
All tightened up. So I'm wondering, you know, this day and age of all those people out on the streets and all the fentanyl, if Grasshopper, Cricket, and all those guys, are they still dealing drugs, or are they gotten out of that?
Yeah, but like, hey, fool, it's just like one of those things. You know, if I knew then what I knew now, or like all these, you know, when I was a kid, you know, all the veteranos be like, hey, this is the way you should do it. And you're like, shut up. You don't know shit, old man. But that's how we feel. We talk to the kids. We're like, hey, do some blow, dog. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't fuck around with the opioids.
Well, the blow's got
around with, like, designer shit.
Yeah, but, dude.
Designer means you're going to die.
Out here, the blow and the Xanax has fentanyl in it. So listen, tell your friends, we are going to see a marked uptick in non-addictive fentanyl deaths. Kids that are just fucking around, get exposed, die. That's starting to increase rapidly.
There's no jokes to be made, dog. It's serious, fool.
Yeah.
Like, don't fuck around with that.
How are your kids?
There's
no
need. Like,
your kids
when did tequila and weed, like, stop being dope?
Yeah. Right.
You know, I'm like, just deal with – I was fine with that shit when I was 18 or some shit.
How are your kids?
They're good, dog.
All right. Excellent.
Living the life.
Someone's going to Ivy League, isn't they? Didn't you tell me one of them's going to, like, Columbia or
Brown.
Something?
Yeah, because my daughter, Consuela, she got into all these schools. And I was like, you're going to that one. And she's like, why? Because I said, because it's Brown, dog. Brown Pride.
All right, Rudy.
I don't even know where the fuck it is. Is it Pacoima or something?
We'll leave Brian Pride at that. Thank you, buddy. Good. We'll talk again soon.
All right. Yeah, I want to say later to pinche Gary, dog.
Yeah.
I like Gary.
Hi, Gary. Rudy saying hi.
Hi, Rudy. Rudy makes me uncomfortable.
That's because you want to fuck me, dog.
Oh, stop it, Rudy.
All right.
That was Trusha, whatever his name was, Trout. So, Mike, Rudy seemed more sort of, I don't know, calmer than usual. He seemed sort of like...
I am too.
You are too. You are also.
Well, yeah, I beg to differ there.
With Rudy?
No, with Mike.
He's not calmer?
He's the exact same person that he always was. And I can tell you because when I was trying to book this show, I instinctually seemed to want to do it over email. But after 6 or 8 hours, Mike had not responded to my email. And I looked at my phone and he had texted me. And I thought, oh, good. He's getting back to me. And when I clicked on the text, it said, hi, Gary, it's Mike. And above it was a picture of a prolapsed anus from 6 years ago. And when we started exchanging back and forth, he said, is it okay if we stay over text? And I said, as long as we stay away from pictures. And he just replied, you fucked up. And he's since been reanimated. I did fuck up. It was my fault. So I did everything wrong.
It got so bad on my text feed that I had to talk to his wife. and it was really just like, you can't send this shit. Nothing is private anymore. And you're sending me horrible things. Now, little did I know that your mom's house would take all that stuff and put it on like a live show.
Yeah.
I don't know, Garrett, Mike, if you know, that's the kind of shit they get into.
Yes. Listen, don't get me started with the YMH people. There's so much about that, the whole existence of like Tom and Christina's empire where I go like, either A, have me on all the time or give me some money.
Is it your ideas?
I was
Mike's been doing YMH one-on-one for about 12 years
I know.
20.
And so I went to his wife. I said, what are we going to do about this? This is like out of control. And she was unsympathetic to me. Her thing was, that's just how he says I'm thinking of you. It's just his way of greeting you and telling you you're on his mind and he cares about you. I'm like, Gunk, are you out of your mind? This is out of control.
I guess that sort of makes sense, because how do you survive in a household with him if that's not your attitude?
So good. It's so good.
It's true.
It's so good. Is she doing anything? Should we look for her on anything coming up?
She's on the Winchesters on CW, the highly anticipated prequel to Supernatural, Tuesday nights on CW. And she's in New Orleans as we speak, filming, finishing up the season. So.
And how's your daughter?
She's great. She loves living the farm life. Like, she really thrives in it. And the freedom I'm afforded when it comes to parenting has been so amazing. You know, like I literally don't worry. I don't even ask. She'll just leave the house and just go out and wander.
Amazing.
And I don't have one concern except for maybe like an animal is going to eat her. Yeah. But now that we have the livestock dogs, I don't even have that concern.
Livestock dogs?
Yeah, I got two Great Pyrenees brothers.
And they're just herding your cattle and stuff? Wow.
And they're not shepherds. They guard.
Hmm.
I mean, and they really guard. They just hang out with the animals. They don't ever come. They've never been inside the house. They live outside.
Do they have to be trained?
130 pounds a piece.
Do they have to be trained to do this?
It's not something you have to kind of have an expert. We literally had to create them in specific ways and introduce them to the animals in a certain way. But a lot of it's instinctive. A lot of it's just evolution of them wanting to hang with certain animals and fuck other animals, fuck them up.
Well, Mike will be with me all week filling in for Adam. We'll be back on Wednesday's episode of Taking Your Calls. We're going to do that. I want to talk about a couple other things on Wednesday. I want to go over your COVID experience and your thoughts on that. Good. I want to talk about what happened to Doug Brignoli and sort of vaccine therapies. Ew. And yeah, I know. And I want you to tell the cat story again out in the desert.
Dude.
All right. All right. So I'm here. Mike's here. We'll be here all week. We have a lot more to talk about. We appreciate you guys listening. And this is Dr. Drew on behalf of Mike Cathwood in Adam Corolla's absence, saying mahalo.
Absence, too.